Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 12 or 13 minutes, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. In this final Weekly Strength series, we're looking at tough topics. Today's tough topic is death. The Bible passage for this episode is 1 Corinthians 15, 51-57. I'll read it from the New King James Version. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Benjamin Franklin was the most quoted public figure of his generation. He recorded many sayings in Poor Richard's Almanac and his newspaper, the Pennsylvania Gazette. His last great quote came in a letter that he wrote in November 1789, just 8 months after the United States Constitution became the law of the land. Franklin wrote this: "Our new constitution is now established. Everything seems to promise it will be durable, but in this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes." Franklin died 5 months later. His death was a certainty, just as yours is. The death rate for all of us is 100%. But that certainty doesn't ease the pain when a friend dies. John 11 tells the story of Lazarus. He and his sisters, Mary and Martha, were close friends of Jesus. One of the sisters sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was very ill. Rather than rushing to help his friend in Bethany, Jesus stayed where he was for 2 additional days. Then he told his disciples that Lazarus was dead, and they all headed to the home of Mary, Martha, and their dead brother. By the time they got there, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days, and his sisters were upset that Jesus had taken his time getting there. Martha met Jesus first and told him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." In his response to Martha, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Then Mary came out of the house and met Jesus. She was weeping. As she wept, she said exactly the same thing to Jesus that her sister Martha had said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus knew that what the sisters had said was true. He also knew that, in just a few minutes, he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He had waited for Lazarus to die so that he could raise him. And yet, here's what John records. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Why did Jesus weep? Billy Graham had an answer. "Death wasn't part of God's original plan for humanity," said Graham a year before he died. "The Bible calls death an enemy, the last enemy to be destroyed." "Ultimately, death will be destroyed," Graham continued, "and the resurrection of Jesus is the proof of this fact. For now, we must deal with death, and dealing with the death of a loved one is difficult. So we turn to Jesus, who offers us the one thing we need the most." Here's what Billy Graham said. "Jesus Christ came into the world to give us hope. Hope for a better life right now, and hope for life beyond the grave. We were meant for heaven, and when we open our hearts and lives to Christ in repentance and faith, we can have confidence that someday we will be with God forever. Some people in the early church at Corinth didn't believe in resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul dismantles their arguments. Here are verses 13 to 22, this time from the ESV, the English Standard Version. "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." Death robs us of many things, but not our hope. Next week, we'll look at the tough topic of divorce. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men. Now let's close out this episode with excerpts from this week's passage set to music. The music is some of the greatest music ever composed. Part 3 of Handel's Messiah. The recording is of the London Philharmonic Orchestra and Chorus from about 40 years ago. If you want the details, contact me via the Throwing Mountains website.
Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet.
to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is.